So the title of this message is called Reset. I'm going to talk to you about what that means in a moment. But Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, these verses are so awesome to talk about church. And so I've read these many times in the past. Every time I come to them, I love them. Verse 42. Let me just say, there's a lot of things we don't know what they did in the early church. All right. So I've jokingly said in the past, wouldn't it be nice if we had an appendix to the Bible that said, this is the music to sing in the church for all time. We would have had all those debates settled, right? But we don't have that. There is liberty in that. And so we go back to the scripture. What we do want to do is observe what they did do in the early church, because that's important. By the way, these scripture readings, we do that because it says in the book of 1 Timothy, 1 or 2 Timothy, give attention to the public reading of scripture. All right, so we do that because of that. So in verse 42, we have what they did. Here it is. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. By the way, I'm not an apostle. I have the apostolic authorities, what we call that, is in the Bible. So my word is not the authority. God's word's the authority. They were devoting themselves to the words of the apostles who were writing God's word. They devoted themselves to that, to the teaching of that, to fellowship, that's gathering together, to the breaking of bread. This refers to the celebrating of the visible picture of the gospel in communion, and then to prayers. Now note, all of those activities are corporate activities. Now I want to read a couple more verses. Here's the effect of this. Awe came upon every soul. And many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Sometimes in the past people have gotten hung up on that. Believe that's talking against communism and all this kind of stuff. You know what all that means, folks? That means somebody in this congregation has a need and you share something to help them. Do you do that? We do that. I mean, people have given Wawa gift cards to people. You practice what that verse says. People need a meal and you baked a meal and you took it over there. That's what that is. On a Sunday morning, you see somebody sitting by themselves. Say, hey, can I sit with you? Can you sit with me? That's doing things together. That's what they were doing. There was a commonness there. Verse 45. They were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. All that means is they were just observant and sensitive to the needs of people within the body they had. And day by day, it wasn't happening once a month, it wasn't happening weekly, it was day by day. Day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. Why were they breaking bread in their homes? Because there was a transition from temple worship to the local church. Understand that the temple is not the church, but there was a transition time that was going on, and so they were practicing things in their homes that Jesus left for them that they were not doing in the temple. That's why they were doing this in verse 46, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Now, this is what we strive for at Bethel Baptist Church, that we would do what we do to practice as closely as we can to what the Bible says, and we have this effect of an awe that comes upon the body of God at work, God using us, God answering prayer, and that we have glad and generous hearts. That's our objective. Now, this morning I have two topics that I wish to address under the umbrella of this sermon. I want to talk about missions and I want to talk about membership. The reason that I am talking about these is because I believe we need a reset. We need just a kind of calibration and a time to talk about this. And I want to reiterate verse 44. All who believed were together. And we know from the message I preached when we were outside, this togetherness is not, they happen to be in the same place. But this togetherness is a togetherness of working side by side and a togetherness of mind and spirit that is reflective of the Trinity itself. So that togetherness that we see here is more than just, well, I go to church there with a bunch of other people. Are we together in mind and heart and spirit? And we need to be taught the Word, verse 42, so that we can devote ourselves to that. So that's why we are doing this morning. As I've mentioned many times before, and we will mention many times after this sermon, the COVID time frame really, really shook things up all across our country and across our world. And so as a result, there are effects that we're dealing with that we need to talk about. Now, this illustration is probably one of the more often given illustrations, not just in church, but anywhere, just because it's such an awesome illustration. I have to believe that when this guy said the words that I'm going to talk about in a moment, he knew this was going to be something people would talk about. By the way, this illustration came about because of our Philadelphia Eagles. Because it was the Philadelphia Eagles who defeated the Green Bay Packers back in the 60s, put an end to their season, and as a result of that, the first training camp that the Green Bay Packers got together, it was Vince Lombardi who stood up in front of everybody and said these words. You know the words. What were they? This is a... You know that. Listen, that. I can't say everybody over 70 knows this. Everybody should know this. That Vince Lombardi came to the training camp with his group of guys that were just defeated the previous season by the Eagles. They were expected to go all the way, and they didn't. And he comes, and he holds up the football, and he says, "Gentlemen, this is a football." This... Now, why did you laugh the second time? I mean, the first time I understand, nobody said anything. And I'm not sure why, all right? Maybe I need to do a little more audience participation. This message is going to feel a little bit like this is a football, but we need it. We need to be together. Let me just say that if you are a member of Bethel Baptist Church, if you were a member before COVID and you're here, you're still a member, all right? Unless for some reason we don't know that you decided not to be a member. So you're still a member. So don't think that somehow something's weird and switching or whatever. I do want to say this, and I mean this when I say it. I've noticed something happen over the last couple years. Over the last couple years, I would hear a lot of this. Where is so-and-so? Where is so-and-so? Where is so-and-so? Here's what I've noticed recently that's changed to. Who is so-and-so? Who is so-and-so? Who is so-and-so? I saw somebody come, and they're about this tall, and you know, you have this descriptors or whatever, and I don't recognize them. Who are they? And so we want to be able to talk about where we're at in church membership. If you were a member of Bethel Baptist Church before COVID and we didn't see you for some time and now you're back, this is very, very common. By the way, the statistic, and I follow all this is my world as clergy and churches and all that kind of stuff, the statistic that is generally given, it fluctuates a little bit, that generally is given in the United States of America, and this is not just conjecture, this is in denominations that monitor statistics closely, that the majority of churches in the United States of America, 40 to 60% of their membership did not return post-COVID. Now think about that. That churches are halved. I gave you an illustration a couple months ago about one that we had heard of that went from 800 members and now they're 300 members. What happens is when people are like, "Where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so?" You can ask where so-and-so so many times that you forget about the so-and-sos that you're even with. And so churches are having to pivot and change and decide how they're going to minister in these what could be described as post-COVID times. If you are not a member, then I hope this message can be of some help to you in understanding membership at Bethel Baptist Church. Before I talk about membership, I want to talk about missions. I know these seem a little bit unrelated, except they both begin with M, all right? So, and they were both things that were longer than just like an announcement. When I came to Bethel Baptist Church 17 years ago, everything was important. Everything was on high alert. Everything needed to be dealt with. There wasn't anything that was like a low fruit type thing in anybody's mind. It was like everything's red flag, everything's red flag, everything's red flag. And so over the course of time, you start knocking out and start dealing with and start managing, you know, some of those things, praying through lots of things. And I don't quite like this illustration, but it's kind of what comes to my mind because it's a stage of life illustration that I'm in. Some of you will relate to this. So when the kids are growing up and going through the home, the focus is where? The focus is on kids, right? When you got small children, I just watched some of you as small children, and I just think, you know, when I'm talking with you and you're looking past me or you're looking over here, over there, I just remember how many years somebody would try to get my attention and I couldn't give attention because I'm wondering, oh, I got a kid up on the balcony and I wonder if he's hanging over and all this kind of stuff. Because all the attention is going to the kids. Well, now as we've got kids getting married, moving out, coming in different stages and so forth, what we find is there is a need to give attention to the marriage. Not because our marriage is in trouble, but there are things that through the course of time we're under pressure because we're both giving attention to family and those things and now giving attention. So, for example, there may not have been the opportunity to just kind of go out to eat together, you know, before, so giving attention. Through the course of the time here at Bethel Baptist Church, I've seen that we've given a lot of attention to the kids, so to speak. I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about ministries at church. And so as the time has moved on, we have begun to give more attention to the church and the school. Here's what I don't like about that illustration. In a husband and wife relationship, they're equals. In a church and school relationship, they're not equals. And I don't say that to belittle one over the other. I'm simply saying that Christ died for the church, that means something different than what a school is. But nonetheless, in terms of organizations, you give a lot of attention to that. Over the last few years, there has been an enormous amount of attention given to the school. And that has been hugely beneficial, hugely costly. And it's taken a huge amount of energy to do that. And then COVID hit. And they are certainly not on sailing ground. They've got a lot of work to do, but we've got a lot of work to do as a church. One of the areas within the church that we need to give some attention to now is the subject of missions. Let me talk about missions for just a moment. This is really twofold. I'm going to inform you about some things and I'm going to invite you to some things. Here's the informing part. We support a variety of missions works at this church, both here in the States and globally abroad. Some of these efforts that we support, even that Scott prayed for this morning, are volunteer efforts. So we don't formally support Crossroads Pregnancy or Morningstar Ministries. And by formally, I mean that the church has voted to monthly support them. We support them in other ways. But there is a category of people that we have voted through the years. Some of these people we supported even prior to my coming to Bethel. And monthly we support them. We support them through what is called Faith Promise. Now, again, I could do a whole message on Faith Promise. I can't do that because I got to talk about membership. All right? Faith Promise is giving over and above regular giving to the church. I'm not talking about regular giving to the church right now. I'm making some assumptions. We'll talk about that later at some point. But Faith Promise giving is giving over above. Many churches have done this through the years to be able to give attention to missions in a way that missions wasn't just a part of the general budget. So when you give money to the church, you know, you're giving to lights and staff and paper towels in the bathroom and buying popsicles for next week and missions. We wanted to separate that out to where when you're giving to missions. Now, one of the problems with that, there are positives and negatives. Here's one of the problems. Through the years, people begin to think that giving missions money is like more sanctified money than giving money to the church. Let me just give you a heads up on that. It is not. It is not. Giving money to a missionary does not earn any kind of special favor over and above giving money to the church that keeps the lights on. All right? The spirit of that should be grace giving from the heart and not necessarily the destination of where the funds go. But back on Faith Promise Giving, we support a variety of ministries around the world. We support Jonathan and Sarah Farmer in Indonesia. We support Jeff and Anna Musgrave here in the United States, helping churches to be able to get re-energized with evangelism. We support, as you know, we hear more often about Dana Clark in Bangladesh and Christy Colas in France. I mean, these single missionaries that we support and wonderfully doing a wonderful job. So I'm only informing you in this way because I want to invite you to, number one, know that we do this, but also that we need to give towards this. COVID has changed this. It has changed this. And I know that some of you are in this boat. It's like, I don't want to hear any more about COVID changing stuff. Like you went and you tried to order some part and they're like, well, I don't know when I can get it in. I think it's on a barge somewhere. And you're like, I don't want to hear that. I just want my part. And you can't change it. It's like this frustration about anything. Here in church, we got to back it off. We got to ratchet it down a little bit because there are things different and we've got to face up to them. So, for example, some of these missionaries cannot simply just come off the field and report in the church now. Now, I know what some people have said in the past is because we've had a video. Listen, it'd be kind of like here. Some of you are video savvy and some of you are not. Same with missionaries. Some of them can make a really cool video of themselves. We can put it up and it plays light music in the background. Some people don't even know how to do that. All right, so we can't just impose that on everybody so that we're informed by everybody. Well, that creates a problem. So now we have missionaries we support who cannot get back, or if they come back, some of them are worried if they can get back in due to vaccinations and all this kind of stuff. It is much more complicated. And so we're going to have to think through how, as a church, we can continue to support people through Faith Promise Giving, let you know about them, because these are our missionaries. These are not my missionaries. These are our missionaries as a church, and how we can keep up and give towards these causes. I do want to say that we're a little bit behind in this missions giving. I want to say that not to be discouraging or shaming or any of that, but I want to be clear. You can see, you can get a financial statement at any time. There's some at the Info Center. Penny can get you one. So this is not like new information, but we're a little bit behind. I would say we're probably $6,000 behind on that. I'm saying that because some of you have extra funds you can give to that, right? You can give to that. Why are we $6,000 behind? I mean, once you ask that question, everybody's got a theory. Let me just give you a couple. We just had an enormous push for a sacrificial offering. And you did a wonderful job in that sacrificial offering. But here, folks, what we got to face up to, people only have so many funds. I understand faith. I want to operate by faith. I want to encourage you to live by faith. Some of you are literally, I don't mean this to be funny at all, when you go to the gas pump, you're living by faith. And so you got this much money, and you've got, you know, unless you're planning on being a vegan, you buy meat. Now, meat's more expensive. By the way, being a vegan is not that much less expensive, too. So I don't know why I even said that. But, we've only got so much, and yet the cost of things, and so what happens is extra giving begins to go away. So we need to just consider that. The other thing is it's out of sight, out of mind. When you don't hear about missionaries, you're not burdened about them as much unless you're personally keeping up with them. Here's where I'm going to ask for your help. I'm going to invite you to help. Here's where we if I can say this as strongly as I know to say it, we must have your help on this. We must have your help on this. I'm going to invite four of you to see me after the service today. And what we're asking you to do, and I'll rotate you, that you come up at the beginning of the service and give us a brief missions report. Here's what I mean by brief, 2 minutes or less. You're not going to go on and on. It's not a time for you to talk about missions and, you know, a book you read or whatever. You don't have to do all of that. You're just simply reading a letter of someone like Jonathan Sarah Farmer. You're saying, hey, the farmers gave us a letter and they asked us to pray for this, this, and this. And here's a picture of them. And now somebody's going to come and pray about that. All right? Now, some of you are like, Rob, why don't you do that? I'm not doing that. Here's why I'm not doing that. We're transitioning to the point. I promise you that unless I'm providentially hindered or I have some severe health problem or I'm on vacation, I will be ready for the sermon. That is very, very important, and I want to take that very, very seriously. But we're transitioning to a point where we need people to give announcements at the beginning of the service. To be able, that's a separate thing, the announcements, to be able to give a missions report. And so what we would like to do to start, and it may not even last forever because there may be another better way to do this, is that we will start and we'll rotate and you'll stand up here and we have to do it offline. We can't do it on camera. We can't do it on live stream because many of these missionaries, their letters, you can't give out that information. So it's gotta happen before that. I don't know if that helps you or not. You will not be on TV. You don't even need to be good looking to do it. I should be proof of that, alright? Seriously, it's just like, well, I just don't. You know, it's like when I ask people to be in the choir, I just don't know if I have a good voice. We don't need you to have a good voice. There's lots of people up here that have a good voice. We need you to make a sound, man. Oh, you don't want to hear my sound. Well, there's people up there just like that. All right? Same here. We just need you to be able to hold a microphone, to give a decent report, and for people to be informed. Because that will really, really help. So, we need 4 volunteers. Update on Sunday morning. If you're thinking to yourself, I'm sure it's not me, I'm sure it's somebody else, then maybe it should be you, alright? So I don't mean to be harsh. I feel like I have a little bit of an edge to me. It's only because of the urgency. And if I do have a little bit of an edge, let me just put this on you. These are your missionaries. It is your church. I need your help, alright? Point number one, over. Point number two, membership at Bethel Baptist Church. Can we just stop right there? I just feel like I need some feedback. I need to know that you're with me and not mad at me. I just need you to say to me when I say, are we good on the missions point? I need you to say yes or no, alright? Are we good on the missions point?
Yes.
How many of you just lied? Anybody lied? Right? Because some of you just to say yes. Say yes. Because we gotta have lunch, alright? It's only 11 o'clock and I covered a major thing there. Major thing. Major thing. Second, membership at Bethel Baptist Church. Let's talk about membership at Bethel Baptist Church. Can I say that it is not uncommon, and I've heard this for a long time, it is not uncommon for many adult people to have never heard an explanation of what membership is in a church, or even to know that that was a thing. So, I want to give this because it is a thing, and I want to explain why we believe it's a thing here. The most important prerequisite for church membership is being a Christian. This is the most important prerequisite. You know, honestly, growing up, if I were a teenager sitting in my home church and there was a question on a test given that, I don't know that I would have given that because I didn't even know that. Like, I knew that being a Christian was important. I just never knew how it was attached to church membership. So the most important prerequisite means that you are a Christian. This means being a Christian means you understand and believe the gospel. That's what that means. Sometimes I think people have in their minds, well, in order to serve here, I need to be a member. So being a member is getting to do things. All right? That's not bad. By the way, if you ever say that to me, I'm not going to say, no, that's not what it is. But the most important prerequisite is being a Christian. Now listen, the word church, the Greek word church, is the word ekklesia. The word church came into existence in the New Testament. The word church is not used a lot in the New Testament. The church, the word church, ekklesia, means called out assembly. So think about it. You're living in the time of Jesus and or past Jesus, and you're living in like Philippi or Ephesus or wherever. And you have these small groups of people who are becoming attached to the teachings of Jesus, that He died for their sin, and they're believing that. And where are the rest of them? I mean, where are we? Does anybody else believe this? A church is an assembly of those people in a locale. So where are the Christians? Where are the Christians? You should be able to go any place in the world and say, where are the Christians? And somebody says, oh, the church is over there. And it could be in a house. It doesn't have to be in a building. But a church is a called out assembly. It says again in Acts 2:44, all who believed were together. Together. That is a literal together. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. There's going to be a lot of verses in this message this morning. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says, God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by His blood, put in right standing with God by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to believe that while you were still a sinner, Jesus died for you. You didn't do anything to earn that. You didn't do anything to earn His attention on you. He did it for you because He loves you. He saved you from the wrath of God. What is left for you to do? Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you're here today and you're not sure you're a Christian, then praise God you're hearing this message. Not my message, the message of the Bible. That Jesus loved you. He died for you. And if you feel that tug on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit saying, come to me. Come to me. How do I come? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. At the end of this message, I'll pray. And you can pray for God to save you. I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart. It is more important for you to be a Christian than for you to be a church member. But being a church member is a Christian thing to do. There's several aspects to this whole subject. My main purpose here is to do the reset of why we practice this here, church membership. If you are a member, if you're just like, oh, I've heard this before, how would you explain this to somebody? I mean, it's not uncommon for me to run into somebody and I'll ask somebody, they'll say, I go to so-and-so church, and I'll say, oh, do they practice church membership there? For somebody to say, I don't know, I'm not sure. I don't want you at Bethel Baptist Church to say, I don't know, I'm not sure. I want you to be sure about this and to be sure what this means. There's a quote, this was given to me years ago by a guy named Josh Turner. He says, there ain't nothing that can't be done by me and God. Ain't nobody come in between me and God. One day we'll live together where the angels trod, me and God. Amen. No, not amen. This is the kind of thing, I don't know who he is, so don't think I'm knocking on some, if you got a t-shirt with him on or whatever, I don't know who he is. But this is the kind of thing that the American spirit grabs hold of, and praise God for the American spirit. I love living in America. I don't want to live anywhere else. But the spirit of rugged individualism, that it's me and God. Did you know that Christianity is not merely about me and God? It's about you making a personal profession in Jesus Christ and attaching yourself to a body of people. As American Christians, we romanticize the idea of me and God. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's lonely at the top. You and God make a majority. That's the university I went to. That was above a chalkboard. You and God make a majority. Unfortunately, that is terrible theology when it comes to church. Ronald Reagan on his horse. Praise God, man. I've read biographies of Ronald Reagan and just loved him on his horse. He just got like such, there was a lot of therapy, him riding a horse. To me, that sounds stressful, but for him, it was riding a horse. John Wayne. Now, it's Tom Cruise. You know, nobody tell me what to do. I can do it. Those people in our minds, those are the, and we tend to import that into our Christian life. I can do it. I can make it on my own. The Bible paints a different picture of the Christian life. God's plan has always been to set apart a unique people for Himself. Not just unique individuals, a unique people for Himself through the Bible. Listen to this, Deuteronomy 14:2. Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto Himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Titus 2:14, Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, peoples, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb. In the age in which we live now, where we live right now, the church is the group set apart to be God's people. So there's always been a people through the ages that God has set apart for Himself in the past, in the present, and in the future. In the present, it is the church. I've read to you Acts 2 already, verses 42 to 46. Here was the group of people that continued steadfastly, doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. We believe that the teachings of the New Testament, so where does church membership come into that? Because if there's any kind of rebuttal to church memberships, where is that in the Bible? Because you don't have like 7 or 8 verses that are just like smack you in the face with this. Where is that in the Bible, and why do we practice it here at Bethel Baptist Church? We believe the teachings of the New Testament necessitate the practice of church membership. So let me give you a few reasons. First of all, it seems that the early church kept track of who joined their number. Acts 2:41, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You can also cross-reference Acts 5:14 and Acts 11:24. Number two, it seems that the early church made a habit of making decisions as a group, which would have required clear church membership. Let me give you a couple of references. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 4 and 5. When you are gathered together, this is a negative reference, deliver such an one unto Satan. This is like the corrective aspect of church discipline, but it says when you're gathered together, you're going to consider this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of the many, or literally of the majority. So there was actually, we believe, a voting process that occurred in the early church, 2 Corinthians 2:6. Number three, here's another reason we practice church membership, the abundance of the one another commands in the Bible. There's 58 of them to be exact. This leads us to embrace the practice of church membership. Here are just a few. We've given a few over the years. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I mean, it's the difference between saying to my kids, you should be friendly and you should love all people, but you really need to love the people in this house. I could say to you, you need to love all people everywhere and you need to love all Christians everywhere, but it's different to then be able to say, but the people you really need to and are responsible for loving for sure are the ones within this house. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I mean, where else would you do that? That's what we did this morning. It's teaching and admonishing one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. There's many, many of these, I could list them. Number four, moving on, the responsibilities of Christians to church leaders and vice versa, church leaders to Christians necessitates church membership. Here's one verse, Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So there is a responsibility. There are church leaders spoken of in the Bible. Who am I responsible for? you know, who is it? There's Christians all over this town. The Bible says the ones who are here and members of here. This necessitates church membership. And then the biblical requirement of church discipline necessitates church membership. There's two aspects of church discipline, big subject. There's a formative aspect where we're all being formed. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So we're learning how to love one another. There's a corrective aspect for someone who is perpetually and without repentance, continuing in a sinful direction that will bring reproach on the name of Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:13, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Church membership is a source today for some of the greatest blessings available to Christians. Some of you need to hear that and repeat that to yourself, because there's so much, and I don't deny any of this, there's so much baggage that comes along with church. With the internet and with people giving stories of church abuses and spiritual abuses, listen, if you have been in a situation like that, do not believe if you share that with me, I'm going to discount that at all. I understand that exists, and it's a serious, serious issue. And I don't want our church to think that's just a bunch of baloney. If you think that, you're just wrong. But, folks, we have got to calibrate ourselves. Do we see a vision and a future here of people coming here, and they're just like the safest place? You know, they give you a testimony around the table, and just like, the safest place that I found myself in my life was at Bethel Baptist Church. And you might be tempted to go, really? But folks, it can happen. It can happen if we can keep moving forward and doing what the Bible tells us to do. All of us, me too. That we could see this as a place that's of great health to people. The church I'm talking about. Imagine a 4-year-old girl comes to live with you and your family as a foster child. She is only supposed to be there for a month or two, but the month turns into a year, year turns into 3 years, and she grows up. Now she's like she's part of the family, right? Finally, her biological parents decide that they are going to forfeit their parental rights, and you are given the option now of adopting this child that has been in your home, that you've come to know and to love for so long. And she's been with you since a baby. And you say, why would we want to do something like that? There's a lot of paperwork. We don't need to formalize it. This is really such a hassle. What if we have her, and then at some point, she gets to a point of being a difficult, you know, young adult or whatever, and we don't want her to be with us anymore. we want to be able to have that relationship. Well, that wouldn't be a very loving relationship. The most important relationships in life are worth the inconvenience of the formalities. The most important relationships in life are worth the inconveniences of the formalities. Maybe you're here, and I'm not talking just exclusively to those of you who are not members. I'm blanketing this across, so don't feel targeted. But I want you to know that we want you to be a member of Bethel Baptist Church if you are willing to confess that you're a Christian. And we're going to talk here in a moment about a membership class we have coming up to talk about some of these things. James 5:19 says, my brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. That is such an important verse. Do you know every single one of you has a wandering heart? Me too. And it says here, my brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders, and we're all going to wander. We even sing it, that song about wandering from the pathway. I can't remember what it is right now. We confess that, but we wander. We need other people to help us with this. This last weekend, I did something that I think my family was nervous about, and I should have been more nervous about, but I plowed ahead because of the Ronald Reagan, John Wayne, Tom Cruise spirit. I can do it, all right? And for me, it was a big deal because I'm not a real fix-it kind of guy. I replace my kitchen faucet, which I do once every about 14 years. It's just simple. They make these things so simple. It's pictures. They make it for the simple guy to be able to do this. And I did the last one, so I can certainly do this one. Well, I was underneath the sink a week ago Saturday night, and I was trying to get a bolt off, and I had the pliers in my hand like this. And you know, when you're underneath the sink, you don't squint. You're like eyes open wide. And the tool slipped out of my hand, hit me directly on my eyeball. I'm not joking when I say this. And it broke the contact in my eye. Yeah, yeah. My eyes are watering telling that story right now. And somebody asked me, I told somebody and they said, "Did you swear?" And I said, I just wonder why that question was even asked of me. Like, did you want me to say yes so you can put that out on social media? What are you saying that for? I said, literally, I said, honestly, I didn't even think of a swear word because it happened so quick and I went, ah, like that. For the next half hour, I had my eye like this and I was trying to see where my contact was because I couldn't see. And finally, I felt something up here, and half of my contact was in my eyeball. And those of you I have rigid gas permeable contact. Those of you who have contacts know the tragedy of this whole thing. And it suctions to your eye. So for the next half hour, Rochelle is up in my eyeball trying to get that thing out, fingers trying to pull out. And then once we got the half of contact out, I don't know where the other half is. I don't think it's, because I've been for a week going like this to see if it's still stuck in my eye. But here's the deal. Here's the reason I tell you that. So I went up. I remember, I haven't been to the eye doctor in a couple years, and we have these extra cases, and I kept flipping through them, and I found a right contact there. But it is like a way old contact. So like when I close my eyes like this, everything's fuzzy. When I open up, you're all clear and go like this. When I open up both eyes, I'm like jacked up. Like I'm jacked up. I have found myself late at night, and the later at night it gets worse. I found myself going through the giant, and my head's kind of turned like this because I'm trying to read labels. And I feel weird because my whole vision is all jacked up. Because of that one stinking contact. Do you know why you need the church body? Is because your spiritual vision is jacked up. You don't think it is, and if you don't think it is, it's more jacked up than you think. You need other people to see what you can't see. You need other people that you can become vulnerable with, and you can figure out how to apply the Bible to your life. Men don't like to hear the word vulnerable, but we are. And if Nebuchadnezzar can be made vulnerable in a dream, we need to maybe own up to that and realize that we are weak too, and we need the body of Christ. We need other people. Here in July, on July 23rd from 9:30 to noon, we're going to have a Discover Bethel class. I have a sign up in the back. If you are not a member, I would encourage you to take that. If you're not a member, you're going to be receiving contact from us to invite you to come to that. It doesn't make you a member. It gives you more information about the membership to help you to become part of this body that will become of great benefit to you. Let me just say, I appreciate the spirit of the people that have been coming here. You walk in this thing and people grabbing coffee and stuff, there's a buzz out there. There's going to be a buzz when this thing is over. That is awesome, man.
That is awesome, and I hope that you'll meet people that you can invite to be part of that so that we can have more people hearing the gospel, singing together that hymn of heaven and things like that, so that we can have a body, that we can work together in our lives to process the gospel, to live the gospel, to fight for unity, and to do what's right together. And this is a place you can do that. This is a place you can believe in to do that. It's a safe place to do that. It is a place you can grow. It is a place that's reaching others like a firehouse. Praise God. We want to see more people do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth today. I pray that as folks are considering helping with missions, that you would lay it upon the heart of four people here to give a report and to be part of that cycle. I pray that you'd lay it upon our hearts to give toward that. And Lord, lay it upon our hearts to be the members that we should be here. And those who are considering membership, those who are not Christians, may they invite Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Thank you, Jesus. We ask all this in your name. Amen.